So good morning to you all. Apologies if you're expecting to see Gerard up here. You're going to have to make do with me this morning. But I'm going to be looking at the reading we read earlier. So Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2. And you could call this one of those classic Christmas passages that we all love. The birth of Jesus, the wise men bringing gifts. It gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling. But did you spot some strange things in our reading as we were reading? Things that you might not expect. For example, the king and all Jerusalem troubled by this child. The whole city. Not just that, but we see wise men traveling across distant lands. They get to the child and they fall down and worship a young child, an infant. Worship. And then as you follow on, we didn't read this, but King Herod goes on to have a mass massacre of the infants trying to destroy this one child. So it's not quite the warm, fuzzy feeling that we think when we think of Christmas. There's dramatic stuff going on here. It doesn't fit with how we approach Christmas. And I suppose the question I want to ask this morning is, why is there such a stir in these chapters? What's going on? What are we missing today? What I hope to do this morning is to connect the dots between what's happening there 2,000 years ago across the other side of the world to us here this morning, 2021, in a COVID-ridden London. I'm hoping to try and connect the dots and show you why this birth, this news, matters more than anything you will ever hear. That's what I hope to do. And this is personal because for me, I grew up celebrating Christmas, going to church at Christmas time, and it just washed over me. It made no difference to my life whatsoever. It was a nice, cozy day having turkey. It made no impact on my life until in my 20s, it clicked and everything changed. So that's what I hope to do today. And as we begin, what is the purpose of all this? That's the first question I want to ask. What's going on here? What is the purpose of this child being born? What's it all for? Well, Matthew makes it clear in our chapter, verse 22 to 23 of chapter 1. I'll read those words. Verse 22. All this took place. Everything that's happened so far in the chapter, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So there we have a long-awaited promise all the way in the Old Testament, and it's been applied here to this child. And Matthew is saying this child who we normally know as Jesus has another name attached to him, Emmanuel. What does that mean? Why Emmanuel? Well, Matthew doesn't want us to miss it, so he interprets the name for us, just so no one misses this point. And he puts it, we have it in brackets here in our Bibles, which means God with us. That's the purpose of the Christmas story, that you might know God with you, that we might know God with us. That's the purpose of what's going on here. Now, surely, if that is the purpose, this is bigger than anything you will ever hear. Think about that for a minute. If I was to offer you anything in this world, all the money you could ever want, the holidays, the experiences, relationships, success in your career. What is bigger than knowing God, the maker of all these things, with you personally? What could be bigger than that? This is huge. Do you see why in chapter 2 of Luke, for example, which you don't have to turn to, chapter 2 of Luke, the angels say, verse 10 of chapter 2, they bring good news of great joy for all the people. Good news. This is good news. Now, all of this brings a but, because there's a question here at this point. If all of this took place so that we might know God with us, this child born, then that suggests that naturally, without this child, we don't know God with us. God is not with us. Do you see that link? And this is where we have to start this morning. Before we get to this good, amazing news of this child coming into the world, we have to first hear the bad news. Now, I know we have enough bad news at the moment, it feels like. A lot of you probably are at home isolating. Some of you have COVID right now. You can't be with your loved ones. Even here, I'm looking at a half-empty church. There's enough bad news at the moment. Christmas plans have been changed, you name it. But we have to start with this bad news, because the good news of Jesus coming into the world is not going to make sense until you first understand this bit. So be warned, this is not going to be maybe the Christmas Day message that you were expecting, but please stay with it. You'll see why. So firstly, the bad news that Christmas implies. What is the bad news that Christmas implies? Without Emmanuel, without this child born, God is not with us. Now, that might surprise some of you, because naturally we think that if there's a God, of course he's going to be with me. I'm a great person. Do you know who I am? Of course God will be with me if he's there. Israel thought that. So this people that Matthew is originally addressing, they thought naturally God was with them. And they had more reason to think that than we do. We've got their impressive story right in front of us. So we didn't read it. Milkius is going to thank me. I didn't ask him to read the first part of Matthew chapter 1, which is essentially a whole list of names. It's telling us the lineage of Jesus, who he came through, right? And you could summarize this as the Old Testament story. The story of the people of God, Israel. Now, they have an impressive story. Firstly, Jesus comes through them. They're the nation through which Jesus comes through. The promised one, the Savior, God with us, right? So that's impressive. They had God's word. God spoke to them directly. They had his commandments. They had the temple, which was said to be the only place where God was. So of course they'd think, God's with us, surely. But Matthew, it's like Matthew's asking here, are you sure? Matthew includes things in this lineage that he didn't need to include. In verse 11 of chapter 1, Matthew particularly mentions Babylon, deportation to Babylon. Now, that was a memory that the Israelites wanted wiped from their memory, because that was a horrible time. The Babylonians was an empire who came in and absolutely destroyed Jerusalem. Not to mention destroying the temple where God was said to be. That in itself speaks volumes. It's like Matthew saying, are you sure God's with you? And then even at the time of Matthew writing, Rome was now occupying Israel. It's like history repeating itself. So Matthew's saying, are you sure God's with you right now? He's getting the question going in their minds. And for us today, we still have to ask that question. Are you sure God's with you? Look around at our world. Look at the bad news we're facing today. Evil, suffering, COVID. Have you ever asked the question why we die? We say death is natural. But when you're facing your own death or the death of a loved one, it certainly does not feel very natural. And then you look at our daily lives. Imagine someone watching your daily life as a neutral. I think the conclusion would be, if someone watched our lives every day, was that something is missing. If you watch our lives every day, we're clambering around, grabbing at this, keeping on making decisions that are harming us. We're empty inside, we're depressed, we're anxious. And then you get people like Jim Carrey, who reaches the top, everything you could ever want in life. And he says, it's not the answer. He says, I wish you could find this too. I've grabbed everything I could and it's still not the answer. All of this is telling us something is missing. There's a God-shaped hole in our lives. God is not with us. And the Bible perfectly describes it in one sentence. It says, we are without God and without hope. That's the situation of humanity. And Matthew's holding up the evidence and saying, look. That's the bad news, but it gets worse. I still have to push this a bit further. It's not just that we're separated from God, but God is against us. That's how bad things are. That's what this Babylon judgment was reminding the Israelites. Babylon, the Babylonian army was sent in by God to his own people. They were being judged by God. So this is the bad news in summary. God's not with us. In fact, he's against us. Now, I know this isn't sounding very Christmassy at the moment, but please stay with me. Stick with me. I want to ask quickly why. Why is this the way it is? Why is God not with us? Now, we have to note that it wasn't always this way. In the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis, it does begin with Emmanuel, God with us. That's where we started. God was with humanity. He walked with them in the garden. It was amazing. It was how things were meant to be. But something happened in chapter 3. It only took 3 chapters of the Bible. Something drastic happened. What happened? We went away. So God was with us, but we went away. We rejected him. That's how the situation is the way it is today. That's why God is not with us. It's described as sin in the Bible. Now, I know sin is a word we don't like today, but if I could simply describe sin to you, it is simply that. We were with God, we went away. We rejected our Maker. Now, sin works itself out in a whole host of ways today, but the Ten Commandments is a great way to think about sin. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. We see they are good commandments. How could they be bad? Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not commit adultery. Good commandments. But we willingly break them because we're against our Maker. That's our situation. That's why God is not with us. And it's interesting. In Matthew chapter 1, we love sin. It's fun, we think. But Matthew 1 describes sin almost like an enemy we're trapped under. If you read verse 21 of chapter 1, this is about Jesus. Mary, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. So if you think about it like that, we're trapped in sin. We need saving from it. We went to sin thinking it was going to give us everything, everything we've been looking for, and now we're stuck and we're empty. And what awaits us? The Bible says death and hell beyond. That we're stuck, we're trapped. We're away from God and there's no way back. So if I could sum up this bad news, finally, you'll be glad to know. Sin has taken us away from God. And as long as we are with sin, in sin, God will be away from us. It's logical because in the Bible, God is described as holy, good, and pure. How can a God who is that mix with evil? That's the bad news. Now, please don't see me as the Grinch. I've not come to ruin your Christmas. I want to say that this bad news is good for us because it helps us explain why the world is the way it is. It answers your deepest questions. Why am I suffering? Why is there suffering? Why am I anxious? Why can't I break free from fear? Why is there death? Why am I let down over and over in this life? Why am I addicted to things? Why do I keep making poor choices that only harm me? Here's the answer. God is not with us. And it will hopefully help you see how amazing this good news is. Because if you don't see you're away from God in the first place, why would you need to be back with him? Why would there need to be a baby called Emmanuel, God with us, if we were already with God? So hopefully it's starting to click. And now maybe the carol makes sense that we just sung before we heard this. What's the carol saying? Oh, come, Emmanuel. It's a cry, help. We need you, God, come. Hopefully it's all starting to click. Because the good news of Christmas is he has come. God has come. He's come into the world. This child, Emmanuel, God with us. How good does that news sound now, with that backdrop that we've just tried to lay very quickly? Emmanuel, God with us. Two things about that name I just want to say. Firstly, Emmanuel tells us Jesus is God. Now think about that for a minute. This child born is God. The maker of the universe is lying in a manger. No wonder the wise men fall down and worship. It's mind-blowing. I think as Christians, we have become desensitized to this amazing truth that God became a human being. It is absolutely mind-blowing, the greatest miracle you could ever imagine. And what adds to it is he came into a world that hates him. He comes in and you look at his life and he's like no one else because he's God. No one like Jesus. He's mighty and powerful. He raises the dead. He opens blind eyes. He stills a storm with a word. But then he's also gentle and humble. So he's known as the friend of sinners. He welcomes the lowest of the low. He never sinned once. He always loved perfectly. Who is like Jesus? No one like him. He really is God. But there's more to this name, Emmanuel. It doesn't just tell us Jesus is God. It tells us Jesus is God with us. We are included in the name. The name is relational. It's saying you, us. Do you want to be part of the us? God with us? Jesus comes into the world and he lives among us. But it's saying more than that. The idea of Emmanuel is this picture of relationship, closeness. And for that to happen, something drastic had to occur. Remember the separation I was speaking about earlier. For the two to be brought back together, something had to happen. And where do we find that? Verse 21 again of chapter 1. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. There's a reason why Jesus is the name we know him by. Because before you get to Emmanuel in Matthew 1, you have to meet Jesus, the Savior. There's no God with us until you're saved from your sin. Jesus, the name, comes first. That's the only way you're going to know God with you. And how does Jesus do it? How does he save us from our sin? Well, simply, he comes to where we are. God's here. He comes to us, into our world, and he takes our place as sinners. That means that we can be released and come back to God. We're here trapped. Jesus comes in and releases us. Now, that also means that he takes everything that our sin deserves. Please hear this bit. Because we're sinners, we've got all this stuff coming to us that we don't want. Shame. Jesus takes our shame. He's stripped, beaten, mocked, spat on, and dragged to a cross. He takes every ounce of shame that we have been trying to run away from. He takes. Our sin deserves death. Well, Jesus is dragged to a cross and dies the most brutal death that you could ever imagine. But also our sin deserves separation. We see it in our lives, separated from each other, but most of all separated from God. What happened to Jesus towards the end of his life? He was deserted by his friends, everyone. He's left alone to hang on a cross. And even there, what does he cry out towards the end of Matthew? My God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken. A horrible word. The idea of being deserted. Jesus was utterly left alone on the cross. Do you see how that links to Emmanuel? For us to know Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus had to face absolute forsakenness. This is how much God wants to be with us. This is how much God wants to be with you. He sent his son through all of that so that you can know Emmanuel, God with us. And I want to say also that this is forever. Matthew's gospel ends with Jesus rising from the dead. And what does he say? Right at the end of Matthew's gospel, I will be with you always. Emmanuel, always. Not a coming and going, always. This is eternal life, by the way. Eternal life is centered around us being back with God, never to be separated. Not even death can separate you from God, the Bible says. In fact, Paul says nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is what we're being offered here today for Christmas. Do you want God with you forever? I hope you see the dots connected this morning between that birth 2,000 years ago and where you are right now. And with what you've heard this morning, how could you ever leave the same? If you've grasped what this is saying, how could you sit on the fence and say, well, that's great for you? This demands a response from us. If Jesus hasn't moved you deeply, I can guarantee you haven't understood who he is. Now, doesn't that make sense in chapter 2? Why we get such strong reactions? We get on this side Herod and the all Jerusalem troubled and Herod wants to destroy. And then on this side, we've got the wise men bowing down, worshipping. It makes sense. If this is God, of course there's going to be that reaction. Because it confronts us all with a question. Jesus coming into the world is asking us a question. It's saying, do you want God with you forever or against you forever? There's no middle ground. There's no neutral. Are you going to go with Christ or are you going to stay away forever? I hope this morning, like the wise men, you've seen how amazing this is and you're ready to drop all and come. If that's you, I would urge you to call on Christ this morning. If you're at home, don't let this moment pass you by. Call on him. Ask him to save you. We've read this morning he's the Savior. He will save you from everything that separated you from God. Call on him and ask him to be your Savior. Give him your sin and believe in him. And if you do, you will know Emmanuel, God with you. You really will. That's what's on offer here, a real knowledge of God. I'm not talking about theory. I'm talking about real experience of God. That's what's on offer. You see, Jesus is in heaven right now. He's not physically here in his body, but he sent down his Holy Spirit. So that means every single person in this room and every single person at home, through Christ, can know God with them. Experience. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside a believer. He's described as God's love poured into our hearts. Imagine that. God's love poured into your heart. That is what's on offer through Christ. You really can know it for yourself. God with you. And it's through Christ. And it's very fitting that the wise men's reaction was they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Could it be put any stronger? Rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Can there be any more joy than that? Do you want to know that joy this morning? Come to Christ. And as we close, as we sing our final carol, note that before this message, we sung, O come, come Emmanuel. We've seen he's come. We're going to sing now, O come all ye faithful. It's a carol that is calling a response from the listener. You've heard God has come. What's your response? Let's sing, O come, all ye faithful.